Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first scripture this morning is from Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. And the second scripture is from 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not changed. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before the Lord that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one of the approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth.
I invite you to stand for the gospel. Reading from the Holy Gospel of Luke, 17th chapter, verses 11 through 19, the Good Samaritan story. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with a skin disease approached him, keeping their distance. They called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." I correct myself, the story of the lepers, right? And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? So where are the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Then he he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the good news.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. This being Laity Sunday, this worship service is more in your hands. In terms of the message today, we have two courageous, brave souls to share reflections on two questions. What does prayer mean to you, and when have you experienced the power of prayer? But before and in between those two brave, courageous souls, I wanted to give any of you an opportunity to share maybe just a sentence, or maybe you have a short story to share. So we have a microphone available to us over here. Why don't you hang on this side, and Len can hang on this side of church. We got somebody already over here that wishes to share a little bit on either question, right from your place. Here comes the mic. Thank you, Barbara. Wait for the mark. Wait for the mic. Wait for the mic. Right into the mic.
Mine was the second one.
Yeah.
And I'm not one for talking in a microphone or something like this. But I had something written out. And I talked to Pastor Todd. I called him. He wasn't in. So I thought, oh. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit has telling me to say this. Well, first of all, let me think. I had it written down. My father, he had a heart attack. And the doctor said if he would live, he'd be a vegetable. Now, my father was very healthy, so it was really hard. So I prayed. I never prayed, and I never prayed so hard. I was coming in the house, and I knelt on the steps, and I said, "Please, Lord, if he's not gonna be right, please take him." And I know this is morbid what I'm saying, but that's why I didn't want to talk. But it was an answer to prayer. And so he took him. Then my mother, she had cancer, and she was suffering so bad. I couldn't bear to see her. So I asked the Lord to take her, and he did. Now, everybody knows my husband had ALS. And at the end, he couldn't talk, he couldn't eat. So we were both praying that the Lord would take him. Now at that time, the minister said he was gonna come and give him communion. So he came and gave him communion, and right after that, I went upstairs to the bathroom, and when I came down, he had passed away. So I think he was just waiting to get the communion. Now, I have a friend whose husband was really bad. He was really bad with, he had kidney problems, and he was on dialysis. And I was thinking, and he was really suffering. So one day, the family wasn't there. So I said, "Joe, it's okay to let go." And the next day, he passed away. Now, his wife, my friend, I don't even know if it was a year later, she was so bad. She would say, "I can't sleep, I can't sleep, I can't sleep." And I told her, "Tell myself, I can sleep, I can sleep." Well, she did. But she went to the hospital, and I prayed for her, and she came back, and she was better. And now she's better. But I'm trying to think of something else.
That's good.
Anyway, that's it. I don't want to listen to this.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Someone on this side? Anyone from this side willing to share? What does prayer mean to you, or when have you experienced the power of prayer? Debbie, back there, mic to her. Len can do that.
Well, everybody knows what my family's been going through for the last couple of months,
and when Daddy was in ICU, they told us he might have to go on dialysis and things weren't looking really good. And I happened to be here at work when I got the phone call. So I just came over to the sanctuary because I didn't know what to do. And I sat in the sanctuary and I said, never said this before, but I mean it now. God, thy will be done. Whether it was to take him so he wasn't in pain or to heal him so he was still here. I was willing to accept whatever God's choice was. And we all know God's choice was not to take him at that point. So right now, he and Mom are both at Cedar Brook, and prayers are the only thing that's keeping me going. Prayers and Bethany. The Bethany family has been my rock, and I want to thank you all, but I know God's leading us all with this, so thank you.
Okay, we're going to go to Rebecca Kesselring next, but the rest of you be thinking about sharing, because after Rebecca, we're going to come back to you. So Rebecca, come on up.
Sure she would survive the surgery, and if she did, she might be blind. Many prayers were offered on her behalf. Once again, God answered the prayers, and today, Cynthia is very healthy and quite a prayer warrior herself. At age 65, my father, Edward, was just diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. My father had promised Mother they would travel once he retired. He wanted to take her to Europe and show her areas where he had been stationed during World War II. And they had also planned to travel around the United States. Mother had noticed changes in Pop, but wanted to believe they were simply temporary lapses of memory. After all, we do all seem forgetful at times. Unfortunately, that travel was not to be. Many prayers by many people ascended to heaven on behalf of Pop, beseeching God to heal his mind. But God had other plans. Instead of traveling the world, they moved from Arizona to Pennsylvania to live with me. Mom fought her impatience with Pop as he continued through the spiral of forgetfulness by asking God to give her the necessary qualities to be a good caregiver. As I prayed for strength to support Mom and wisdom to understand Pop's terrible disease, God provided me with insight to support family members of Alzheimer's residents in the long-term care facilities that I manage. He gave me the words I needed to reach out and comfort those families who were hurting and resentful of this horrible disease that had robbed them of the companionship and love they had once enjoyed with their loved ones. You might ask how I consider this the power of prayer. The power of prayer brings about changes in different and often in unseen ways. And sometimes we may not even realize what has happened until we look back on incidences that occurred in our life. God always answers prayer, but as he sees fit. On a Sunday afternoon in 2005, my darling husband, Len, flatlined in front of me in the emergency room at St. Luke's Hospital. I was taken to a separate room with the chaplain, who offered prayers for Len. I, too, was saying many prayers, beseeching God to spare Len's life. This was before everyone carried cell phones, so I was eventually taken to a waiting room having a telephone, and I called my dear friend, Bev Rumble. Bev drove to my house to pick up my mom, who lived with Lynn and myself, and came to the hospital. We were joined by our pastor and her husband, and along with the St. Luke's chaplain, offered prayers for Lynn's recovery. Bev stayed and prayed with me until midnight, even though she had to get up early for work the next day. Alan Miller, our former conference minister, also came to the hospital to pray for Lynn. And if you ever want a good story, ask Lynn about that visit. Needless to say, 4 days later, Lynn was allowed to come home. The power of prayer. Before Lynn was discharged from the hospital, one of the ER nurses came to Lynn's room to wish him a happy future, a happy and healthy future, and advised us that Lynn had the heart attack known as the Widowmaker. If I had not listened to that small voice telling me to get Lynn to the hospital, if the many prayers for his recovery had not been offered, I would not be standing here today talking about the power of prayer. As many of you are aware, I have been challenged with breast cancer for 24 years. During that time, many prayers have been offered on my behalf and many answered. But you may ask, if many prayers have been answered, why the latest diagnosis of stage 4 cancer? God answers prayers in many ways. He provides strength and courage to all who ask, but he never promised to heal everyone of every disease. Instead, he promised to always be near to provide comfort and strength. I truly believe that God has a plan for the remainder of my life, whether it be short or long. I believe in prayers I pray, as well as those given on my behalf, are heard by God and answered in ways we cannot begin to comprehend. But I do know that my God will provide. And I'd like to close with words from Psalms 91, verses 1 through 12. To me, it is a very powerful prayer. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terrors by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. He is an awesome God and the power behind all prayer. Thank you.
Thank you. Wonderful. So, I want to give you again an opportunity, any of you, to share. What is your definition? What is prayer to you, or how have you known the power of prayer? I want to give you one more opportunity. Any of you.
Pastor, I have something.
Come up. Come up to this mic. I'll sit.
This is very brief, but those of you who know me know that I'm a card sender. And when I find one that I like, I buy extras. And I keep them, and a lot of them I can remember what I've sent and what it said. And when we talked about the power of prayer, this is a card that I bought and bought another and saved. And it says, no ocean can hold it back. No river can overtake it. No whirlwind can go faster. No army can defeat it. No law can stop it. No distance can slow it. No disease can cripple it. No force on earth is more powerful or effective than the power of prayer.
Thank you. One last opportunity before I ask Jean to come up. One back there, okay. One here, yes, right there, microphone.
This is really off the cuff. I didn't plan on talking at all. I pray a lot for even little things. Even when I was young and I was facing maybe a solo in church or a test of some sort, I would say, Dear God, please be with me. And that seemed to work over and over and over again. When someone I love, my father, my mother, my brother, and especially Mike with his surgery that he just had, I really bug God a lot. Sometimes I think he must get tired of me. But it's simple. And it's quick. And the other thing that I think is really important, God gave us a brain, a fantastic brain, all of us, especially all those people that have taken care of us when we're sick. And so God works through And we need to remember that. It's very simple in my head. The love of God and talking to God is just something I've done since I've been very, very little. I try not to bother him too much. But that's my connection to prayer.
Thanks. Anyone else?
Some of you may be aware that Sue and I went through a quite harrowing time with infertility. And over the portion of 7 years, seven long years of trying to have Sue get pregnant, it became apparent that that was not going to be the case. And we prayed. We prayed. We're both from large families, and this was a very difficult thing to go through or try to understand. But in the end, we ended up adopting from Korea, and we adopted a special needs son. I know that because of that, we grew as individuals in ways that I can't imagine would have been true otherwise. So even though we struggled with the notion that we weren't going to have a child of our own, we certainly did with Jacob. And then about 5 years ago in January, even though I did all I could do to keep myself in great health, I had a heart attack on Sunday night. And I remember my son sitting there at the computer, and it's hard for him to sort of understand what's going on. It's hard for him to sort of describe the feelings he had. But I know as I was headed over there, and I looked in the door, and I saw him sitting at the computer, and he was crying because he did not know what was going to go on. So I got to the hospital, and I just said, "Please, Lord, let me survive this, because I can't see myself leaving my son in the way that I'm leaving tonight." And thankfully, it all worked out. And those are the two examples. They're both sent around my son, but one where the answer wasn't where we'd like to be, and certainly God intervened where I needed his help. And so that's my story.
Okay. Katie, why don't you come on? Pardon. No, she can share that for another time. Another time, okay? You'll share that another time. Hold on to that thought. This side, please. Yeah, this side too. Take the bowl.
Well, I made my own subject of prayer as I experience it. Our prayers are our conversations we have with God. The model given in scriptures by Jesus is the Lord's Prayer, which we pray each Sunday in worship. Any conversation we have with another person helps us to know them better and brings us closer to one another in our relationship. The same goes with prayers, with the prayers that we utter to God. They bring us closer to Him. I'm not one who uses beautiful phrasing or eloquent language, but I'm encouraged that God hears the simplest of my prayers, as well as the beautiful prayers of theologians and Bible scholars. In fact, the scripture of Romans 8:26 tells us, the Holy Spirit helps us with our weakness. We do not know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit himself speaks to God for us even begs God for us with deep feelings that words cannot express. With that promise, my simple prayers are made perfect with the help of the Holy Spirit's intervention. At the start of each day, I whisper prayers of gratitude for the new day and the blessings in my life. I specifically recite the following three prayers, which come directly from Scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I recently read a description that described our very breathing as being a prayer. You've probably heard that God's name from the Old Testament times was so holy that humans couldn't utter it. There were no vowels. That name is Yahweh. The commentary I read suggested that inhaling was the first syllable of Yah, and the second syllable, Wei, is the exhale. Upon entering the world at our birth, and upon leaving the world at our death, we breathe our first and last prayers, Yahweh. With this insight, I began noticing that when I subconsciously sigh or exhale during the course of a day, it's usually when I'm irritated about something or feeling defeated, I will then intentionally whisper, Yahweh, knowing that the Spirit will intervene for me. Interesting that the Holy Spirit is also described as the breath of God. My biggest difficulty with prayer is when the answer from God is no. Of course, when I'm distressed and hopeful that my prayer might change an outcome, I'm sure I've got it all figured out and that my solution is the way God will see things too. So often, I don't want to face the reality of the loss of a loved one or a grim health report. I may be believing that God can change the circumstances as I want them to be, and I selfishly haven't prayed the Thy Will Be Done part. Typically, I've heard some of these, and I'm sure you have as well. Why did God do this to me? Or why did God allow this to happen? Or God must be punishing me? Or what did I ever do to deserve this? In our Sunday morning study this past spring, Max Lucado pointed out that Christians should expect to have hardships. It's a fact of life, but it's not what most of us want or expect. That's hard stuff. Mature thinking. Reverend Alan Miller, our retired conference minister, once shared that when he was going through his early treatments for cancer, lots of people asked him if he ever asked God why. He genuinely couldn't understand why he would even ask that of God. I don't know if I'm that mature, but God isn't finished with me yet. I'm trying to remember to ask in a way that we are instructed, Thy will be done, in addition to asking that God provide comfort and his very real presence in the situation. Additionally, if a name of a friend from the past or present randomly pops into my head, I'm trying to remember to whisper a prayer for that person. There may be a reason which only God knows, and I don't, and I'm confident that the Holy Spirit will intervene. I don't have any tremendous stories of moving mountains or miraculous changes. In my past, I've heard people claim that faith isn't strong enough, or there weren't enough people praying for that miracle. I've come to the conclusion, though, that God can and will use the most dire circumstances to show his power, his love, and his comfort. When my sister Ellen was told she needed to start with dialysis because of her failing kidneys, she prayed for full healing and restoration. I questioned my own faith as I listened to her.
And I suggested to her that even if she faced dialysis treatments 3 times a week, her faith would make an impression on others at the treatment center, patients and practitioners alike. Her struggles and prayers for healing persisted. Her health needs didn't get better, but deteriorated. I continued to question my own faith. However, after her death, as we gathered to remember her life and how she touched our lives, seated in the church was a woman from the dialysis center who shared with all of us the positive impact my sister had on others at the dialysis center. It was a comfort to me to hear what she shared. God used Ellen despite her failing health. I strive to be more dedicated in my prayer life day to day. I know God hears each one. A simple sentence whispered in the busyness of life. I'm more conscious of the attitude of praying with gratefulness and joy, besides the prayers of petition and worry. There have been times I felt alone, afraid, unable to find hope. But I'm confident that there's the promise that God will never leave me alone, and the Spirit will intervene for me when I'm at a loss for words.
Thank you, Jean. So, let all of us say amen to everything that was shared. Let's say
amen.